Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Middle East Today. Coming to you from Beirut, I'm Mariam Saleh. Over 100 Palestinians have been killed and over 1,000 injured. The argument in this round of fighting is that stronger rockets are hitting Israeli areas that the Israelis have thought were untouchable. Now, who is really paying the price in this war, and how could it reshuffle the balance of power in a swiftly changing Middle East? Now, to get more, Mr. Suhail al-Natur, he is a member of the Democratic Front for the Liberation of Palestine. We're also joined by Mr. Neil O'Shea, journalist, former BBC commentator. He's joining us from London. And we will also be joined on the phone by Mr. Mukhaymar Bousada from Gaza to give us more on what's happening inside the Strip. But let me start with you, Mr. Natur.
Well, every war will have one day or one moment of ceasefire. If it's going to be end quickly or not, this is the main question. I think the Israeli side, when they prepared for this invasion and attack on our people, they didn't think about the reaction of the Palestinians to be so influential like this and to create much more effervescence inside the two sides politically, how to find a way out of the situation.
All right, then how about the Palestinian resistance? You think that their deterrent power has been upgraded?
Well, we got to prove that we're reasonable. And we demonstrated for the seventh day consecutively that also we studied everything happened since the last invasion of Israelis since 4 years ago. And we tried to correct the mistakes and to at least to be ready for any possibility from the Israelis. Now we expect the worst. That's why what we planned as a defensive situation against the Israeli invasion is the mainly our plan how to defend ourselves from a land enforcement of the Israelis. I think we expect that we will succeed in continuing steadfast, and at the same time, we know that the price will be very heavy, but it is this time not only one side. It will be very heavy for both.
First, let me ask Mr. Neil O'Shea. Now, if this war that was launched by Israel for election reasons, do you think that it will help Netanyahu in the next Israeli election, or do you think that it will cost him the next election, actually?
Well, the answer to that question is that Netanyahu is popular already. He was popular before this crisis, so he doesn't need this war to make himself more popular and to win this election.
Yes, well, it's been somehow a kind of tradition that previous prime ministers have launched wars on the Gaza Strip, and usually when they are faced with criticism in the home front, they're still not able to deter these rockets or to stop the rockets from falling on the home front. It seems now they're hitting harder than ever. Do you think that that will also be a problem for Netanyahu and will suddenly see him dramatically fall in the polls?
I don't think so, no. And it's a misinterpretation to say that he's launched a war against Gaza. He's defending the Israelis from attacks from Hamas on Israeli civilians. He has the support of the West and United Nations because every country has the right to defend itself. The United Nations, UK and Europe support Netanyahu, as do most democracies at the moment. What they don't support is a land invasion by Israel.
What do you think about this interpretation of the war on Gaza?
Well, I think that Mr. Netanyahu, when he was discussing the things, there were the two steps, or to make it as acceptable by the Western public opinion that we are making some military targets only and targeting the bases of the Palestinian fractions and not the, the civil population. Mm-hmm. Now, they discovered that Palestinians' preparations for retaliation on these attacks are so widely influencing the public opinion in Israel. And if the things will continue like this, now he is facing with a choice to stop it now as it is and or to go to the ground battle. To stop it now means he didn't achieve what he was pretending to do. That means I am the most powerful power in the Middle East.
Yes.
I am crashing those small groups who are harassing some Israelis, and I am cornering the new Arab regimes to stay in the same obligations by the old contracts and agreements. So now he is seeing that, no, the Palestinians are capable to continue to steadfast and to pay the sacrifices needed, not to their mighty willingness to continue the resistance is not to be broken. And that now, if he goes to the ground, means much more blood, much more number of casualties, and much more the sensitive casualties will be with the army, which is very important in the public opinion. So now, if he loses a part of the public opinion to re-elect him, some analysts, they say, but probably and for sure, if the army will lose many big number of their crew inside Gaza, I think completely he will lose any credibility to be re-elected.
So that all depends on that situation. But since you mentioned the new Arab states or post-revolution states, do you think that actually Israel is testing their reaction, trying to see how different to see how they might react to such an issue, especially countries like Egypt, perhaps Libya, and even
for
Tunisia?
Sure. Israel considered the new regimes is an expression of the deterioration inside the societies, and the people, the Arab peoples in Egypt, Libya, etc., were expressing the need to change and to correct the policies before. And they inherited a lot of problems, and 3 months or 5 months of new rule is not enough to solve the problems. Mm-hmm. Every one of us knows that the Egyptian president was supposed to go to the United States asking for assistance economically. And so if these people in the new, who are now on the verge to begin or to solve or to failure. And everyone knows that there were demonstrations in Cairo saying that the new president failed. And if this will be accentuated, the regime has an interest to succeed. At the same time, they are in a corner because this regime needs a help and assistance, not only from the Americans, but also from the Gulf states' money to assist for the budget of Egypt and so on.
Yes.
And they know that the money doesn't come if the Americans, they don't want. So these regimes, they need to be successful in their new way. At the same time, they don't want to provoke the Americans to the level that paralyze them.
Yes.
I think Israel wanted to exploit this to push the new regimes in a corner and stay like the old regimes and continue impotent.
Perhaps in midway. Mr. Oshie, how do you think this war is different than the previous 2008-2009 war now in light of the changes in the region with new leaders and post-revolution states?
Well, it's an old-fashioned war between the Palestinians and the Israelis. I don't think much has changed. I think you must remember, though, that most of the world sees Israel as an innocent victim here, who's received over 2,000 missiles from Hamas on Israeli civilians. So Netanyahu is just doing what any national leader would do and defend their country and citizens from attacks from a neighbouring force. But I think we have had the Arab Spring, which is a fantastic reality check for the Middle East, with democracy coming in, free speech, human rights arriving, a better free press. These are all good things. But the one thing that has to change is Hamas has to accept Israel's right to exist and to stop attacking Israel.
Yes, wouldn't you agree, Mr. Oshie, that there's also a new Middle East, if we may say that, hasn't been completely formed, and public opinion, Arab public opinion, is strongly determines or influences the demands of the clear demands of the people could influence the leaders, and there's a strong animosity towards Israel in the Arab street because of the massacres that are being occurred, because of the many civilians that are being killed inside Gaza. How do you think that will also dictate how the leaders and how even the world looks at this war specifically?
Well, I don't think it would dictate in a bad way, because fortunately the press is more open in Arab countries now, and we'll see that this is a self-inflicted tragedy in Gaza, where the regime there is using civilians, is hiding its missiles and its control centres in civilian areas as a defence form. So I think most people will say that this is a self-inflicted disaster in Gaza, and the Israelis are defending themselves.
All right, well, we're joined on the phone by Mr. Mohamed Abu Saada. He's a professor at Al-Azhar University. He's joining us from Gaza on the phone. Mr. Abu Saada, if you can tell us, how will Hamas be dealing with this war? Will they continue? Can they keep up the fight? And will the Gazan people accept an Arab League delegation, or have they lost trust in the Arab League?
Well, in terms of Hamas, Hamas has shown a lot of confidence and a lot of resilience over the past 8 days since the start of this Israeli aggression on the Palestinians in Gaza. Hamas is also threatening the Israelis that if there's going to be a ground operation, they should expect more surprises from Hamas, as those surprises like the one by launching missiles in the depths of Israel in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. Hamas is not afraid of the continuation of the war, even though Hamas has said that they are ready to accept a ceasefire, but they are not afraid of an Israeli ground operation. They are ready to confront it. Now, in terms of the Palestinian population here in Gaza, to be honest with you, there is a feeling of fear and a feeling of that the continuation of this Israeli ground up, Israeli bombing, is just causing more casualties among the Palestinian civilians, and most of those who have been killed so far, most of them are children, women, and civilian people. Now, with regard to the Arab League and the delegation who visited the Gaza Strip yesterday, that was a very symbolic move by the Arab League, a symbolic move by the Arab foreign ministers who came to the Gaza Strip for the first time since Israel imposed siege and blockade over Gaza. That visit was received in a good way by the Palestinians. But in the meantime, the Palestinian people here in Gaza are expecting more from the Arab League, are expecting more from the Arab governments. They welcome such visits. They welcome the solidarity of the Arab regimes and the Arab people with the Palestinians in Gaza. But they expect the Arab government to end their relationship with Israel, especially the governments who have a diplomatic relationship with Israel, mainly Egypt and Jordan. They are expecting more from the Arab League and the Arab regimes.
Mr. Natour, it seems that some Arab leaders have admitted that they were actually part of this blockade on the Gaza Strip. Why do you think that they are against sending in weapons to the Palestinians in order to defend themselves, like you said?
Well, it's not something new that there was a kind of stalemate in the Arab political arena of the regimes again on the situation concerning the Palestinian rights, and because also we committed a mistake, which I contradict our friend in London when he said that Hamas must recognize Israel to exist. Well, I think until now, 65 years already, Israel was existing, and the PLO recognized Israel to exist. Mm-hmm. What we didn't
accept,
we didn't get
state
the right of the Palestinian state to exist. And even now, non-member state is applied by Mr. Abu Mazen, and mm-hmm. the Americans and the West, especially the British, are saying no. So I wonder who is asking what. And we, second, about the civilians. All the time when they mention the Israeli civilians. I don't know. I'm seeing on the TV the Palestinian kids are killed. The Palestinian women are killed. It's not the Israeli civilians. Okay, in a case of war, some kinds of hit of rockets coming here and there, people are afraid. But in Gaza, they feel fear more. So who is paying the sacrifices? The civilians, to protect the civilians. We don't want any kind of ceasefire just for ceasefire. Mm-hmm. And the Israelis, every time they say the deterrence concept of the Israeli capacity against the Palestinian is going down, so we have to go for another war against Gaza. No, we need the guarantees from Israel to say stop killing of Palestinians, stop mm-hmm. invading Palestine. And so that's why that will encourage some Arab regimes to move. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the Arabs are saying, some of the Arabs, they want the Palestinians to be finished, and some of the Arabs, no, they want them to continue resisting, but they are not able to, with their capacity to assist the Palestinians yes. enough. I think the actual crisis is pushing for a new criterion in them. Who wants to help the Palestinian is not only by a diplomatic visit. This is plus one, mm-hmm. but sending some weapons and medical assistance for the wounded people. This is the things and mm-hmm. cover yeah. them politically to say that we want an independent state and we want the finish of the blockade of Gaza
yes.
and to reunite the Palestinians. Uh-huh.
Yes, this is another question. Let me ask Mr. Oshie. Now, many Palestinians believe this is a war for Palestine to end the blockade on Gaza Strip and also to let the world and Israel recognize Palestine's right to exist. I mean, it's the other way around. Palestinians still don't have a state. Wouldn't you agree with this?
I mean, there is sympathy that Palestine has a right to exist. And Israel has said, we will end the occupation, we will respect their rights, we will reduce the settlements. But first of all, we have to have recognition from our enemies, from Hamas, that they won't attack us, and we can be friends, and we can work together to develop the economy of the area and create harmony. But Israel does not get this message of peace and non-aggression from the Palestinians and from Hamas. And until they do, it's not a good idea to mm-hmm. reduce security in the Palestinian areas and reduce the settlements.
Yes, Ms. Oshie, how do you look at the Arab position from your point of view, that if the Arab position was more firm in standing with the Palestinian rights, that the U.S. position would actually change dramatically?
If you're talking to me, I mean, the Arab position is a poor one in the fact that they have supported the Palestinians' aggression and attacks on Israel. They should be saying, no, we need harmony, we need democracy, Hamas needs to have elections in the Gaza Strip, has to allow a free press, has to stop attacking journalists, and mm-hmm. and we have to work with the Israelis, we have to talk to them. And so uh-huh. far, the Arab League has not been strong enough on Hamas.
Now, let me ask Mr. Bukhaim Abu Saada, on the issue of Hamas and Islamic Jihad. Now, they, on the inside, seems the resistance is very much pro-resistance, if we may say, the Hezbollah's line of thought, continuing resistance until liberation. However, you see some voices from Hamas on the outside trying closer to the Arab League or closer to countries like Qatar and so on. Is there very critical, this difference between the two Hamas?
Now, definitely there has been a shift in Hamas alliances over the past 2 years. Since before this, the eruption of the Arab Spring, Hamas was very much aligned with what the so-called resistance camp led by Syria, Hezbollah, and Iran. But since the eruption of the Arab Spring and the eruption of the crisis in Syria, Hamas has shifted its alliances. As we all know, Hamas has left Syria completely, and most of their offices now, they are either in Doha, Qatar, where Khaled Mishal is based, and Musa Abu Mazouk, his deputy, who is based in Cairo. This the current war on Gaza has made it clear that Hamas is more aligned with the regime in Egypt, led by the Muslim Brotherhood organization. They are closer now to Qatar, Turkey, and Egypt, who are trying to mediate a ceasefire between Hamas and Israel. But in the meantime, the Palestinian resistance, led by the Islamic Jihad, hasn't ignored the help and support the Palestinian resistance made of Hamas and the Islamic Jihad has received from Syria and from Iran. In an interview with the leader of the Islamic Jihad, he has stated clearly that these weapons that the resistance is using against Israel is paid for or supplied by the Iranians and also the Syrians. So no, even though there has been shifts in Hamas alliances, Hamas and the Islamic Jihad have not ignored the financial and political and also military support they have received from the resistance camp in Syria, Hezbollah, and Iran over the years before the eruption of the Arab Spring.
All right. Mr. Natoud, what do you think about this point of view specifically, and how have the Arab states influenced, if we may say, Hamas on changing its position regarding the resistance?
Well, I think we have to differentiate between two things. The general trend of the Palestinian resistance, including Hamas and the others, they repeated many times that we don't have an interest to be one-sided inside the internal problems in any Arab state. I think this is because of our experience in the old time when Kuwait was invaded and our people paid the price heavily of the mistake done by Mr. Arafat, the late Arafat. I think that also repeated in Lebanon, Syria. Now Hamas, because they are that one of the branches of Muslim Brotherhood, and as the Muslim Brotherhood in Syria are with a position against the regime and practicing on the land, it seemed that they don't want to be embarrassed. They left, they began to leave by themselves, and they enhanced this process to quit directly. This means a new change in the policy. That's not only because the Syrian are pressurizing or it's also because the line adopted by Muslim Brotherhood in general. Mm-hmm.
One quick final question on the issue of the U.S. position. You think that it is natural that it will not change as long as the Arab position is yielding to the U.S. demands and not using perhaps its own weapons, like the weapons of petrol, for instance?
I think the United States is very pragmatic. The most something which attracts by the American diplomacy and policy is that they adopt themselves with any changes in the governments.
Yes.
They had good relations with the regime of Hosni Mubarak. Now they're trying to get back the new regime.
Yes.
And if there is even a socialist regime in Egypt, they'll try to go back. They think and make diplomacy for interests, not for the eyes of anyone.
Unfortunately, our time has run out for now, Mr. Suhail Natoud, from the Democratic Front for Liberation of Palestine. Thank you very much for being with us, Mr. Neil O'Shea, journalist joining us from London. I want to thank you also. I also want to thank Mr. Mukhaymer Bousada, who is from Al-Azhar University in Gaza, joining us on the phone. Our email is metoday@presstv.com. Goodbye for now.